Good morning. Trace said in his prayer just before I came up, he said that we might not only hear the word, but also do what the word tells us to do, directs us to do, the imperatives in Scripture, which we will hear this morning. I will hear them too. So it's just not enough to hear the word of God. Our Lord wants us to be doers of the word. As I often say, Trey may have heard me say it, interpretation without application is simply information. So that's not my intent, just to give out information this morning. So we'll see where the Spirit takes us in the reading of his word. First of all, I want to thank AMC for the privilege, first of all, to be at the pulpit. I take that very seriously. I hope you know that, and I appreciate it. And also for Cindy and I to be welcomed into your congregational meeting last week. You know, I needed that because I needed to hear, concerns, the heart, the pulse of the congregation so that I can better pray for that this morning, not only this morning, but throughout the week, and anytime I think of AMC and our relationship together with you. So know that I am praying. It was revealing for me, and I am going to this morning do my best to connect the dots from last week in Jim Sutton, where he preached, where he started, and where he left off. That's where I want to pick up. And it is going to connect quite well, I believe, with where we're at in our walk through Romans. We are in Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking at Romans 8, verses 5 through 17 this morning. But leading into that, I just feel a need to ask God's blessing on the reading and this time that we spend in his word. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Jesus, we know you prayed to the Father, and you said, Lord, may they walk in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them, set them apart, you prayed for your church. Lord, may we see, may we hear through your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit, how we are called out of the world and called to be different, called to walk in the truth, walk by the power of your Holy Spirit. May we see that, experience it. Lord, give us wisdom, give us revelation, give us understanding as we spend time in Paul's letter that he wrote to that church in Rome. We'll trust you, Lord, not only that we may have ears to hear, but also the heart and the strength to fulfill whatever your Spirit says to us as a church, as AMC, and or as individuals. We pray this for your glory and in your name. Amen. As you remember, if you were here last week, Jim Sutton came, and he started off with in the book of Revelation. You know, I always kind of hold on to my seat when somebody goes to the book of Revelation, you know, but it's good. And Scripture says of itself in there, all who read this are blessed, and there's reasons for blessing. Just a little bit about the book of Revelation. You know that John wrote it, recorded actually as seven churches, what Jesus was actually saying through the Spirit to the seven churches. It was written, it was probably the last letter that he ever wrote, the book of Revelation, probably 95 AD. The theme of it is to stand strong during the midst of persecution and not to compromise. And in light of the imminent return of Jesus Christ, it's in there, the book of Revelation. And that should be a blessing for us. Hallelujah and amen. Amen. John also wrote the Gospel of John, and it was not part of the Synoptic Gospels, not Matthew, Mark, Luke. because John wrote his gospel later on, after he had walked this earth. Probably most of his brothers in Christ, the disciples, were already martyred when he put a pen to write his gospel. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, probably a little bit just before he wrote Revelation. So these are like the last letters we have written to the churches. Jim touched on three of the seven churches, Ephesus, Pergamum, and Sardis. Their similarities, their common commendations as Jesus addressed those churches, those seven churches. He had words, positive words for them. I know your works, your heart, your dedication, your servanthood, your loyalty in the midst of persecutions. But I hold this against you. There were some that he also admonished and had charges against them. And he ended that, Jim Sutton did, with Revelation 3:19. I don't know if you remember it, but he went to Revelation 3:19, and that was written to the church of Laodicea and quoted from there. Jesus said, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." That's where Jim ended last week. I'd like to start in the same place, in the book of Revelation, looking ahead to the book of Romans, and use something similar, looking at two similarities in those letters, that something that is common to all seven of those churches that Jesus addressed. Number one, he said to all those seven churches, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And that's the totality of all the congregation. That's the ecclesia. That's the church. And now that letter, the letter of Revelation, the book of Revelation, was that letter form, those letters went around to all the churches, all seven of those churches. So they were reading. Laodicea, I'm sure, read what was written to Pergamum or Ephesus. They read that all. It was written to the churches. The Ephesian church, 1 through 7, Jesus gives a promise, and this is important. You don't see that in all the letters, but in Ephesians, he gives a promise addressed to individuals who will hear, who will listen. He gives promises to all the churches if they hear and obey, to stand firm and hold on. So to he who has an ear, individuals, the church and individuals, here today, the church and individuals. Not every letter is like that. Most of the letters are written to the church in general. But these letters are written to the church. And Jesus points out to him who holds firm to them. There are a few that have not soiled their garments, that walk with me in my way. He's speaking to individuals. The other point I want to make, the first one was he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The second point is, that is common to all seven of the churches, he who overcomes, I will bless in some way. We can read it. You will sit on the throne with me as I have overcome and sat on the throne with my Father. To he who overcomes, individuals, to he, each one of you who overcome will come and sit with me on my throne. It's in all seven of those churches. I believe in Ephesus it was he who overcomes will eat from the tree of life. Now let's, with that in our understanding, and that said, let's look at Romans 8, 5 through 17. This is, I'm going to title this, if we need a title for it, Life Through the Spirit in the 21st Century. I'm going to try, as I go along, you can look for the significance in your own life, whatever you're facing. I encourage that on every Sunday I may preach, anytime the word is preached. Find, know and understand the original meaning, because it can never mean what it never meant. But understanding the meaning, fast forward to 21 centuries up to today and see the significance of that meaning for each one of you today. Amen. Life through the Spirit in the 21st century. We know that God's word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. I'm going to ask Cindy, if she, why don't you come up here? It might pick you up better. We don't have the little guy with the mic running around. So come on up. I've asked Cindy to read from her translation. She has become very familiar and likes to read from the Complete Jewish Bible. This is Messianic. So if you can follow along, if not, I will, when I make points, I will go back to the one I use, my NIV. But let's listen to this from the Complete Jewish translation.
From verse 1, correct?
No,
just from 5?
Jump into verse 5. Yeah, okay. I'll sum up those first four.
For those who identify with their old nature, set their minds on the things of the old nature. But those who identify with the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Having one's mind controlled by the old nature is death, but having one's mind controlled by the Spirit is life and shalom. For the mind controlled by the old nature is hostile to God, because it does not submit itself to God's Torah. Indeed, it cannot. Thus, those who identify with their old nature cannot please God. But you do not identify with your old nature, but with the Spirit, provided the Spirit of God is living inside you. For anyone who doesn't have the Spirit of the Messiah doesn't belong to him. However, if the Messiah is in you, then on the one hand, the body is dead because of sin. But on the other hand, the Spirit is giving life because God considers you righteous. And if the Spirit of the one who raised Yeshua from the dead is living in you, then the one who raised the Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit living in you. So then, brothers, we don't owe a thing to our old nature that would require us to live according to our old nature. For if you live according to your old nature, you will certainly die. But if, by the Spirit, you keep putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to bring you back again into fear. On the contrary, you received the Spirit who makes us sons, and by whose power we cry out, Abba, that is, dear Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirits that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are also heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with the Messiah, provided we are suffering with him in order also to be glorified with him.
Amen. Thank you, Cindy. Last time, I read and preached on four verses. This time is a lot more than four verses. You probably took in, there's a lot here. But let me wrap up those first four verses I preached on last time from Romans 1 through 8. I'm going to annotate them. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Verse 1. No condemnation for those who are in Christ. The old nature that Cindy just touched on in her reading of those scriptures, clearly, for the old nature, there's condemnation. There's death. There's no way around it. And we talked about that last time I preached, about God's judgment. And that's what the book of Revelation is about, his coming to judge this world of sin that refuses to turn from the old nature and come to Christ. You probably heard the word hostile. The world is hostile towards the word of God and towards our Lord. In those first four verses, the law was powerless, the Torah. It's powerless. It's good because it exposes sin. Paul said, I wouldn't know what sin was until the law came. I didn't know what coveting was. I would have never coveted. I wouldn't, until the law says, don't covet. And I realized I was coveting. We saw that in one of the earlier chapters, chapter 5. The law was given so that sin would increase. Increase, yes. Those who have the knowledge of Christ would see what sin is. That his people, first of all, through the law, would see what sin is and how prevalent it is in this world. We have a sinful nature in those first four verses. And it ended in verse 4 that we live not according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. And that's what we're going to be looking at. The sinful nature and the Spirit. Verse 5 from the NIV. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that sinful nature desires. Those who live according to that sinful nature. That's where their minds are at. That's where their focus is at. If you just took that verse right there, what I just read, and looked at it in the Greek, it would say this. Live according sinful mind. Those words are in there. The other ones, the translators put words in. These were Greek words. Rich. People understood that. But in English, translators have to put more words in between there so we can understand the meaning. Live according sinful mind. Our mind. That's where sin generates from, and that's where repentance generates from. Our minds are set on. Our mindset. That Greek word is phronio. And it's mindset, it's a noun, present tense, and it's keep being mindful of. To keep on giving serious consideration to something. This defines that word. To keep giving serious consideration to something, to ponder, to let one's mind dwell on, to keep thinking about, to fix one's attention on. Now think about today. I'm going to try and connect all this to today. Dave said something earlier about there's so many distractions in this world. Oh, you turn on the news, you know, you pick up the paper, talk to people. I mean, maybe don't think about it, but you know that there's a lot of distractions, more than I've ever seen in over my 70 years, going on right now. Wars, rumors of wars, pandemics, and the immorality, all these things that are going on, we call them weapons of mass distraction. Because they can get your mindset or the natural mind set on these things, and that's all they think about. In the sense, mindset is a habitual or characteristic mental attitude that determines, listen to this, how you will interpret and respond to situations. That's what mindset is. You have this mindset, this characteristic mental attitude that determines how you're going to respond to the things that are happening in this world, the situations that you are in. In the 21st century, I think Isaiah 5:20 fits very well in here. Isaiah, 750 years before Christ. The Lord said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. If we can't take that right there from Isaiah 5:20 and bring it into the 21st century and look at the things that are happening in our culture, in our schools, that we know are wrong. We know are sin. How about in our churches? How about in the church? Where people will call something that is sin okay or tolerated to where it progresses to where it's accepted and then it's honored and glorified. And it's good. Whoa. to those who call something evil good. Or good, evil. If we stand firm in the Lord, if we do this, we will face resistance. You'll be called intolerant. In many cases, and I don't know why they do it, but racist. I've been called that by family members. Racist. Because we stand up for the truth. But my brothers and sisters, listen, this is life through the Spirit. So we're not going to try and live our walk out in this world by the flesh, with the mind of man. We're not going to do that. We're going to walk in the Spirit and by His power. Woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The point is, in the 21st century, we must, this is so important, I believe, we each individual must have a biblical world view. We must have a biblical world view. We must be equipped and proficient in filtering everything we see and we hear through the Word of God. Because this is the truth. Lord, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Those are words from Jesus. Sanctify them by your word. Set them apart. Set them apart, Lord, by the truth. Jesus said, your word is truth. This will separate you very much from the direction of the world, and in many cases today, the direction of the mainline church. Yes, I said the mainline church, going in the direction of the world. We're filtering everything through the Word of God. Paul said to the church in Colossae, let the Word of God dwell in you richly as you teach, admonish, warn, correct one another. Back to individuals, one another. Filter everything through the written Word of God. Cindy read verses 5 and 6 is where she started. Let me read it from the NIV. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Paul, in his first letter, in his very first letter, Romans wasn't his first letter. His first letter that we have in the canon, written to a church, was Galatians. And in chapter 5 of Galatians, verses 16, 17, and 18, listen to what he says. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires. Sinful nature has desires, and we're going to deal with this until Christ takes us out of this world, because we have a natural body that we're in. We've been redeemed, but this redeemed, born-again nature lives within a body that was corrupted by sin. So it's constantly, and the world is constantly, temptation is constantly trying to have us go back day after day back to our natural mind, our sinful nature. If we live by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Paul wrote a lot about that in chapter 7 of Romans, I remember. He was back and forth. He said, what a wretched man I am. Things I want to do, I don't do. The things I do, I don't want to do. Who'll deliver me from this body of death? Praise be to God through Jesus Christ. He's our deliverer. They are in conflict with each other, so you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We have, unless I'm exceptional, and I don't think I am, conflicts probably every day. Unless you walk fully in the Spirit every moment of every day, which is a goal. That's what we're aiming for. That's what each one of us want. But there's a lot of speed bumps along the way. At least there is for me. But we have these conflicts each day. I think, as I said before, John wrote his gospel later on in life. He had experienced a lot. Everything from being boiled in oil to being put on a prison island, Patmos. He experienced a lot, probably getting word that Peter had been killed, that Matthew had been killed, that Paul had been beheaded. And when he wrote his gospel, he focused, as I see it, as I understand it, more on the Holy Spirit than all the other gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. He focused, chapters 14, 15, and 16 are basically about the Spirit of God, about the Spirit of God. And in chapter 16, he said that it is good that I have to go to his disciples. He's talking to his disciples. He's still alive. He hasn't faced the cross yet. He said, listen, he said, it's good that I go. Because if I don't go, the Father will not be able to send the Comforter or the Counselor. You can't define that paraclete, that word. It's just, it's so comprehensive, the Holy Spirit. Because that's Christ. That's Christ. And he lives where? In each one of us. We don't have to pray, Lord, come, you know, or Lord, be with some, maybe the demonstration of the power of his Spirit, but he is within each believer. Cindy read it. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you what? You do not belong to Christ. He's going to have to send the Counselor, the Comforter, and the Convictor. Because listen to this. John 16:7, he says, I will send him, the Counselor, the Comforter. And in the next verse, he says, and when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will what? Convict the world in regards to sin and to of righteousness and judgment. That's what he does. Convicts the world about sin. I had to be convicted in 1983. I was convicted right down the road here, second floor, 585. Oh, I knew I was going to hell. I knew at 34 years old, I knew I was wrong. I had sinned. And I knew I would stand before God for judgment. And that I feared God. I feared that. But then he revealed himself to me. It all made sense. The dots were connected as I laid in bed. July of 83. Jesus. As Paul said, who'll save a wretch like me? Jesus. Convicted me. The Holy Spirit convicted me. It's a good thing to be convicted about your sins. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And he'll use the church, he'll use us, and the Spirit through us. Of sin and about righteousness and about judgment. But remember this, in Romans 8:7, the natural man, the sinful mind is hostile to God. Verse 7, it's hostile. There's hostility. You preach Jesus to somebody, you share the gospel, you've got to share the whole gospel, because the gospel will bring sin into it. And if the sinner with a sinful mind does not hear about the judgment that's waiting sinful people, they're never going to come to the knowledge of truth. Share it in the gospel, the good news about Jesus. That's what the gospel is, good news. We're all sinners. There's no one righteous. No, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God. It cannot do so. The mind of man, the natural man, cannot submit to the things of God. He can't. She can't. They can't do it. And a lot of times, if somebody's got an addiction or somebody's having an affair at work, somebody's drunkard, we try and fix them up. It's natural. We try and say, oh, no, you should quit drinking. You should. You know, cheating on your wife, you shouldn't. That's wrong. You're just wrong. Yeah, no, but, well, that sounds pretty good. But deep inside, that man that's having that affair or has that addiction, addicted to porn, whatever it is, he's got no power. He can't do it. He can't obey God. And deep down inside, he's hostile to what you're telling him, because there is a way out, but he don't want to take it unless the Spirit of God convicts him. And that's what he uses his church to do, our Lord. Now, as I said in verse 8 of Romans 8, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. They can't. You don't have the Spirit. You can be as religious and as nice a person, but if you're not born again and have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you cannot please God. The Word clearly declares that. Now, for finishing up with Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17, we're going to go... life through the Spirit, then this is kind of a long chapter. Next time I'll talk on future glory, and then after that, we are more than conquerors. Through who? Jesus Christ, of course. We can do nothing on our own, right? It's all through him. And he loves it when we acknowledge that. Now, Lord, I can't do a thing without you. I'm dependent on you. Good, good. And finishing up, though, 9 through 17, just looking at verse 9, you, however, because you have the Spirit of God. It says, you, however. He had been talking about the natural man, a sinful man, up to verse 8. He says, but the mind controlled by sinful nature cannot please God. But you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, listen to this, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. I'll make a closing point, because that thought is carried all the way through to just about the end of that chapter. But those, in Galatians again, Paul writes in chapter 5, 24 and 25 of chapter 5 of Galatians, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We've got to get more familiar with walking in the Spirit. More familiar with him, to be filled with the Spirit. How do we know when we're filled with God's Spirit? Scripture says, right after it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A man who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction, judgment, condemnation. But he who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. We can walk in that life now. If we are determined in our hearts to get up and walk out here and determined to sow anything we think, say, or do, or don't do, so that it pleases the Spirit, and do it by Him and through Him. In Romans 8, continuing on in that last section here, verses 12 through 14, Paul writes, we have an obligation to live according to the Spirit. We have an obligation. When we've been redeemed, when God calls us out of the world, so many people believe I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And then they just kind of flutter back into their old nature, claiming maybe they went forward at Mario Murillo's at the tent meeting, or Billy Graham's meeting in Buffalo back in the 80s. I went forward. You went forward where? Billy Graham, you know, I know guys that I worked with. You went forward. Then why are you living like you going to church? No. I went forward, though. I said that sinner's prayer. Well, that's wonderful. How's your life? Are you living to please the Spirit? Are you sowing to please the Spirit? Well, let's just close all this and forget about it. I went forward in 84, and I'm okay. You know, we got to walk in the Spirit. You know, if it quacks like a duck, if it looks like a duck, all right, chances are it's a duck. But if it ain't walking like a duck, you know how ducks walk? You know how they walk like that? Now, you got one coming on there like that. You say, wait a minute, that ain't no duck. How's your walk? You can say what you want. You can pontificate whatever. You can know so many scriptures. But if your walk isn't one that reflects the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'd better repent. You'd better check yourself. Examine yourself. If we belong to Christ and are led by the Spirit of God, we are sons of God and are called and empowered to live like it. Live like it. I'll bring it home very close and do with it what you want. You know, I don't know if I've said this before, but when I said mainline denominations, I see a lot of this going on. The Mennonite denomination is not immune to this. And that's where something comes into the church that is definitely evil, sinful. It takes root because it's not challenged or it's accepted or tolerated. It takes root and it grows. It grows to a point to where that sin is accepted. And not only accepted, but celebrated. I recently, months ago, but I looked up Theda Good. And are you familiar with that name? Okay. Theda Good is a woman who is in the Mountain Conference. And that was the touch point of the issue with MCUSA. Because she was, you know this doesn't exist, but she said she was married to another woman. That was accepted in the Mountain Conference. I think she was married in the Mountain Conference. It took root. It ran its course through MCUSA. She has now been ordained as a pastor at the Mennonite Church in Mountain Conference. Check it out. It's exactly what I'm saying here. It's exactly what I'm saying. When it comes into the church and it takes root, we need to correct. The Word of God is useful. It's God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That should have never existed, my brothers and sisters. Never, it should have never gone on. But I guess, however it was structured, there was no way to correct it. So the ones who believe the Bible, believe God's word, wanted to correct that person and say, this is sinful. You cannot continue on in this. You are not married to this woman. They left. That's why you've got the Lancaster Mennonite Conference and other conferences that aren't in that MCUSA. You filter that through this and you get this, I hope, unless I've gone amiss. And we're a small enough group right here, and I trust y'all. If you've got a comment or a concern, you bring it up now. Look around. Look around. This word has to be held to, my brothers and sisters. You know, I'm not admonishing anyone. I'm just saying we have to have a biblical worldview. And what I just shared is at the other end of biblical worldview. What I just shared is calling something bad good, evil good. All right. I left it open if anyone wants to say anything. This is like a house church for me. If there were 200-300 people here, I wouldn't drop that bomb here. You know? I wouldn't. But if you want, talk to me afterwards. We'll talk about it. But there may need to be some repenting on our end, on this end, about all this. Jim's the one that started this. He planted that seed that bugged me when I was sitting in that pew, and he was up here last week. Because it's God who walks among the lampstands, the churches, seven churches. And it's his word that he wants us to hold to. And there will be many who won't. There'll be ones that in 2 Timothy. Here, let me go there. But the point in Paul's letter here in Romans, back to there, and I'm going to connect it to the point I was at. If is eight times in there. It was in Cindy's Jewish Bible too. Eight times in that section, 5 through 17. If the Spirit of God lives in you, if you live by the Spirit, if we walk in the Spirit, we are led by the Spirit. If we hold to what is true, and if we speak the truth, and if we do it without compromise, and if we live godly lives in Christ Jesus, guess what? We will be persecuted. Because we're living godly lives, we will take heat for it. If this sermon went out, and it's okay if it does, some may be very upset with me. They may be upset with AMC, but this is me, how I understand Scripture, sharing it with you. It's all on me. David Joseph Doucette. It's all on me. But I don't... No. We will suffer persecution. Paul writes Timothy, his last letter that he writes, 2 Timothy 3:12. He says, indeed, all who desire to live godly, a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. We just said from bad to worse, calling evil good. Welcome to the 21st century church. But I'd like to welcome you to the 21st century church, which is the true church, not the apostate church, not a lukewarm church, not a complacent church, and not a worldly church with itching ears. as I just read. For those few, as it was in the book of Revelation, for those few who have not soiled their garments, a church that is willing to take a stand and pay the price for it, the true church is a church that is well equipped for this stand. A true church is a church that understands the times that we live in and knows what to do. A church where all the members have put on the full armor of God to take a stand that God says that we're called to do. We are called to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God. If we're canceled, they got this thing called cancel culture. If we're canceled by friends, family, coworkers, students, other Christians, okay, let it be so. That's where I'm at. You make your choice. You make your call when you walk out this door. But as for me and my house, we're going to stand firm on the Word of God. We're going to be watchful. We're going to be strong in the Lord. We're going to be courageous. We're going to speak the truth at all times. We're going to do it in love. That may be the hardest thing, doing it in love, but we got to. And God gives us the power to do that through His Spirit. Just remember this. I want to encourage you with these words as I close. If you're going to get canceled because you've taken a stand for truth and are willing to speak the truth in love to all who will listen, who have ears to listen, if they're not listening, don't worry, they didn't listen to the prophets, they didn't listen to Jesus, they won't listen to you. Same Spirit. They won't listen to you. They'll cancel you. Then do not forget or lose your blessing. Listen to that. These words are red letter words. These are from Jesus. Jesus is promised in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Jesus. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man, because of Jesus. Rejoice. Rejoice and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. I'm going to close just as I began with Jim Sutton, Jesus to the seven churches, Revelation 3:19, Church of Laodicea. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Whoever overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen. Father, I pray as your word was read, a charge you give to preach your word in the presence of you, in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of him who will come and judge the living and the dead. Preach the truth. That was your charge. Father, I pray I've been faithful, and I pray that my brothers and sisters, each one of them, have had their ears open to hear what your Spirit is saying to each and every one of them. And give them the strength and the power, myself included, to go out and overcome any and everything that you put in our path. For you said that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. And we believe that and declare it. In Jesus' name, amen.